The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Joe Sebilia, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
Just flew into town tonight. Lady Luck was on our flight. I had a bite to eat at Gino's down the street. And now this welcome sight. Glad to see you're born again. Atlantic City, my old friend. Be there when I bet on 10. I bet on you.
Oh, the late, great Robert Goulet singing about Atlantic City. Hi, everyone. I'm Al Gattulo. I'm the news guy here on the program, but I'm also your host for this next hour because Joe Piscopo is off to see his son, Michael, graduate high school, which is very awesome. So congratulations, Michael, on the high school graduation. It's that first step into adulthood. It's a little scary, but it's kind of cool. And congratulations to you. I know it always seems like those 4 years of high school is that long journey. I mean, for me, it's more like 2.5, maybe 2.75 because I cut out a little too much because I got bored with high school. But, you know, what can I say? I mean, it's just the way I was. But anyway, congratulations to Michael on completing high school. That's awesome. I know there is so many great things that are going to be happening in your life as time moves on. And, of course, Joe will be back on the program tomorrow. It's his birthday tomorrow, so we'll have a lot of special guests on the program to celebrate Joe's birthday. I know Chas Palminteri is one of them. Not going to mention some of the others, but it's going to be a lot of fun celebrating Joe's birthday tomorrow. It seems like we've been celebrating a birthday for Joe, you know, every single year, and it's always a fun day when we celebrate Joe's birthday, so it's really cool. But there are a lot of other things to get to here in this final 53 minutes or so that we have left with you here on the Joe Piscopo Show. Michael Goodwin, the columnist, the chief columnist in the New York Post, is going to join us at 9:40 in his weekly spot. And what we're going to be talking to Michael about, if you haven't had a chance to pick up the Post this morning, he wrote about a series of short films called This Is New York. The films are available on YouTube. I don't know if the city financed these films. I'm assuming that they did, but we'll find out from Michael. And basically, it talks about how, you know, New York is back and, you know, there's all these different things going on. And, you know, it's a positive note when, let's face it, folks, the 8 years of Mayor de Blasio running this city have been abysmal. Crime is up. Homeless people seem to be everywhere and they're not getting the help that they need. Mayor de Blasio's wife took $1 billion from the city for her Thrive program. We have no idea what she's done with the money. We have no idea whom they've helped, how they've helped. We get all these questions, where's the money, where's the money? There's no transparency, there's no answers. And to be honest, we talked earlier in the show about how Mayor de Blasio hasn't endorsed any candidate, and no candidate on the Democratic side wants his endorsement. That speaks volumes, folks. When every single one of these candidates is distancing themselves from, as I like to call him, Mayor McClownage, about how they just don't want to be associated with him. And look, I've met the mayor personally. I met him once at Arthur Idala's birthday party. Nice guy. I'm not going to sit there and rip the guy, you know, at somebody else's birthday party. He's a nice guy. He knows how to talk to people. We've had Joe Borelli on from the city council from Staten Island. And, you know, Joe has even said, and Joe's a Republican. He's the minority whip for the city council. And Joe has said, I've contacted the mayor at all hours. I've texted him. I've called him. He returns my call. We have a conversation. It, you know, he does engage both sides. But it strikes me, de Blasio strikes me as the type of guy, very much like former President Obama, where he feels like he's the smartest guy in the room and he knows best, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Now, speaking of who knows best and who knows what to say to everybody because he's the Lord of New York State, I'm referring to Governor Cuomo. No, I'm not going to do my Cuomo impression. There are other people who do Cuomo far better than I do. But Cuomo said that, Lord Cuomo, excuse me, said that if the state reaches its 70% threshold, that he would open up the state. And so he has done so. So yesterday, he gathered all his fans to come around at One World Trade Center. They sat there genuflecting in front of the Lord about how, you know, the state is open now. We're open for business. We're going to have fireworks. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. And Brian Zagin, who's filling in this week, a couple days as producer of the Joe Piscopo Show here as Joe Sebelia is on a well-deserved vacation, pulled a couple of cuts from Lord Cuomo. So let's hear from the Lord and what he had to say yesterday about New York City, New York State being reopened.
What do you do when you get knocked down? Do you stay down? Do you feel sorry for yourself? Do you wallow? Are you overcome by the obstacles? Or do you pull yourself up and say, I'm going to learn and I'm going to be better, and reach out your arms to your brothers and sisters and lift one another up to a height that you've never reached before? That's what we do in New York.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, does he not sound like a guy who is running for a fourth term or whatever it is? I don't know how many terms he's run. Why isn't the governor term limited? Do you hear the attitude, the arrogance of this man who may or may not have directly killed people in nursing homes? Okay, it's all alleged. They're doing an investigation. The man has been alleged to have sexually harassed not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, nine women. And even if you discount two of the women's stories, that's still seven people who say that this guy is a bad guy. There are people out there that behind closed doors don't say it too loud. He's a bad guy. He doesn't care. Now all of a sudden he's opened up the state and he expects to be rewarded for this. This is nonsensical. The state should have been open. We've had a number of guests this morning who have said it, and I agree to an extent. This state should have been open months ago. This state should have been open as the shots were being given. By February, March, the businesses should have been reopened. The amount of businesses that have lost their business here in New York City is atrocious. Forget about New York State, just New York City alone. And some people can blame Mayor McClownage for this, but in reality, the buck stops with Cuomo. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who set the rules. So you have to put the blame squarely at his feet. Now, Lee Zeldin is running against him. Rob Astorino is running against him. Andrew Giuliani is running against him for governor next year. One of those three, obviously, is going to become the Republican candidate. But they need to hammer this point home over and over and over again. What Governor Cuomo did to this state is atrocious. This state could have been open far before that. The fact that this man arbitrarily dictated how things should be run for so long is ridiculous. You could say the same thing about Governor Murphy in New Jersey as well, okay? But New Jersey and New York are two different entities. New Jersey doesn't have the amount of density that New York City has, okay? It's a little bit different. So I'm not going to compare the two. And I know that there are people that may or may not call at 1-877-970-2999 that may say, well, Murphy did the same thing in the nursing homes or whatever. None of that is true as of now, okay? Murphy reported accurately, or, you know, maybe some of the numbers were a little bit off about nursing homes. The governor of New York, Lord Cuomo, hid those numbers. He intentionally or allegedly hid those numbers so that he could look pristine. He could look clean. Okay, there's a difference here. There's an investigation going on, and I hope they don't give up on that. I hope the Attorney General, Letitia James, doesn't give up on that. She shouldn't be giving up on the sexual harassment stuff either. They should continue these investigations. It should go well into the campaign next year. He needs to answer, okay? Bottom line. Now, speaking of which, when I'm saying that the state should be opened up and back to work, and that's great, they had fireworks last night. It's wonderful that Mayor de Blasio wants to throw a ticker tape parade coming up on July 7th. To honor the first responders, and I think that's a great thing. It's going to be right outside our building here on Broadway. I think it's something that is well deserved. The mayor promised it last year, and get it. And you know, this is another thing that we talked about here. And if you're just joining us, I'm Al Gattulo. I'm the news guy. Joe Piscopo is off right now. He will be back tomorrow. He's going to see his son Michael graduate from high school, and we congratulate Michael for graduating high school. And of course, Joe will be back tomorrow for his birthday show. But isn't it funny how in this pandemic that we have seen, you know, sometimes the mayor has actually done things correctly, whereas the governor continues to screw things up. Now, when I talk to you about how, you know, the state should have been reopened sooner, the chief executive, James Gorman of Morgan Stanley, basically said this week, your staff needs to be back in their office by Labor Day or face a pay cut, okay? This is the quote from him. He says, make no mistake about it, we do our work inside Morgan Stanley's offices, and that's where we teach, and that's where our interns learn, and that's how we develop people. He said this, James Gorman said this Monday during the firm's annual U.S. Financials Payments and Commercial Real Estate Conference from the bank's Midtown office, which was held virtually this year. If you can go into a restaurant in New York City, you can come into the office. Now, since the pandemic began, the banking giant has permitted its 70,000 employees to work from home. But with 70% of Big Apple adults vaccinated and an infection rate below 0.5%, Gorman says it's time for workers to get off their couches and back to their desks. And he said, on Labor Day, I'd be very disappointed if people haven't found their way into the office. Then we'll have a different kind of conversation. He said, if you want to get paid New York rates, you work in New York. None of this, I'm in Colorado and work in New York, and I'm getting paid like I'm sitting in New York City. Sorry, that doesn't work. And let me tell you something. I agree with him 100% here. If you work in New York City, you should get paid New York rates. But if you're working from home, you should not be getting paid the same rate as somebody who is coming in. I'm sorry. Now, I say this with my wife working from home now. She has worked from home since the start of the pandemic. She had shifted jobs just about a week before everything shut down. All across the country, and she still works for the same company she's been working for a number of years, switched jobs, and it's more of an office job. She's more on the phone calling people. You know, basically, to briefly describe her job, you go to the hospital, you come out of the hospital, she takes your case, and she follows you for the next couple of weeks. Make sure that you have your appointments, make sure that you have your medications if you need prescriptions refilled, checks on you to see how you're doing. Maybe you need to do this. Are you getting home health care? Can we set that up? The whole thing is preventative to keep you out of the hospital, which is a great thing. And then after a couple of weeks, they pass off to the next person down the line, and then she picks up more people, and she's picking up more people every day that she calls, right? So her company decided probably about a month ago that they were going to shift their employees in her department from coming back to the office to staying at home. And I'm going to take a brief sip of water real quick here just to explain, because I had to clear my throat here. So anyway, they made the decision to keep her at home permanently. They decided, no, we're going to repurpose those offices. We're going to put more medical facilities in there. We know that you guys can do your job from home. It's on a laptop. You're doing all your work on your laptop. They make phone calls on their laptop. They do all these things on their laptop. Now, I'm okay with that, and I'll tell you why. Because her job can be done remotely without having to be in the office. But if your job requires you to be in the office, where you're not having to rely on, you know, on all these different things and having person-to-person connections with people, you know, all these different things, you need to be back in your office. And I think the time is now to get back. If you're vaccinated, if you've had your shot, even if you haven't been vaccinated, there are precautions that you can take. Because let's face it, folks, Brian and I have been coming in since the start of this pandemic. We weren't vaccinated from the beginning. We had to take precautions, right? We had to wear masks. We had to socially distance, right, Brian?
Yeah, no, I completely get where you're coming from, Al. I almost kind of look at it like coming back from vacation or coming back from like when you were a kid in school from summer break. It's very difficult. You feel terrible. You don't want to come back. But you know what? Eventually, you just got to suck it up. And come back.
And you couldn't do your job from home, Brian, and neither could I. Like, I could have done my job from home. If I really wanted to make a stink about it, I could have said, yeah, set me up remotely, give me this, give me that, whatever, and I'll do it. But it wouldn't have been the same, and I wouldn't have felt comfortable doing that. So I took the risk. I'm going to come in. If I take care of myself and follow protocols that I set when I had my cancer 5 years ago and wipe down my equipment and socially distance and whatever, I'll be fine. I did not at any point get infected with COVID. I got my vaccinations. I feel comfortable walking around without a mask. I feel comfortable interacting with people. And yeah, I get it. Listen, we've been stuck home for 14 or 15 months. I get it. It's a learning curve. We're reintroducing ourselves with people again. And I understand all those things. But we need to get back to normalcy. Part of that is coming back to work. Part of it is not living on unemployment for the foreseeable future. It's great to be getting that extra money, and I understand it. And let me tell you that. Oh, you know what? I'm going to save this for after the break because we have to get the traffic. But a little point on working and why I don't want to work and this and that and whatever and blah blah blah. This is the real world, folks. We have to have jobs. You got to get back to work. You got bills to pay. They're not just going to be put on hold. Socialism is not going to take hold in this country. We're a capitalist society, and I, for one, love it because this is the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. I'm going to get off my soapbox for a minute. We're going to do some traffic with Debbie Duhaime. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls, and then Michael Goodwin is going to come up from the New York Post, the chief columnist from the New York Post, coming up at 9:40. But first, on the roads with Debbie Duhaime.
Thank you, Al. Let's take it out to the Southern State Parkway eastbound out past Peninsula Boulevard out through Uniondale. Watch out for an accident here in Nassau County. Traffic is slowing down for you on the Cross Bronx westbound White Plains Road through the GWB, the outbound George Washington Bridge upper level. It's construction till 2:30 this afternoon. Inbound side of the GWB, 25 minutes in. Lincoln 20, Holland about 30 in from both approaches. 3 westbound heavy at the 46 merge in Clifton. It's kind of busy on 18 southbound at Edgar Street into East Brunswick. An accident there was just cleared out of the way. And watch for some pockets of volume this morning as you take a ride over to the Hutch northbound at East Lincoln Avenue in Mount Vernon. It's a collision over there as well. And traffic slowing down on the westbound belt out by Kennedy Airport. Checking in on the forecast, sunny today, high of 80. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Dennis Prager believes schools have become toxic.
Those of us who are committed to biblical ideals and not left-wing ideals are committed to the notion that men and women are different, should celebrate their differences, and should not blur them. But if you send your kid to any regular school today, the odds are they will be taught that anybody who said what I just said is a hater.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970, The Answer.
The following is a paid political announcement paid for by Curtis Sliwa for mayor.
Hey, you know me. I'm Curtis Sliwa, and I'm running for mayor of New York City on the Republican line to save our city. But in order to do that, I need your vote in the Republican primary June 22nd. Remember, early voting starts at your local polls in the 5 boroughs on June 12th to June 20th. I've never asked you for a favor, but now I am. I need your vote. Go to CurtisSliwaForMayor.com. That's CurtisSliwaForMayor.com.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
This year, to mark 20 years since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is giving 200 mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and catastrophically injured veterans and first responders. In a moving tribute to the fallen, the foundation's chairman and CEO, Frank Siller, walks for the month of August through to September 11th from the Pentagon to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and on to Ground Zero. The foundation is bringing back Towers of Light to memorials at the Pentagon and reading aloud the names of service members we lost in the War on Terror on Veterans Day. Help this nation to never forget its greatest heroes. Do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org.
The Ben Shapiro Show, today at 4 p.m. on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970 The Answer. I am your host, Al Gattulo. I'm also the news guy and all-around obese gentleman who likes to make fat jokes about himself because, let's face it, I'm fat. Joe will be back tomorrow. He is off to see his son, Michael, graduate high school today. So kudos to Michael Piscopo graduating high school. It's a big milestone for anybody. I don't care who you are. My son is not enamored of graduating high school next year. He doesn't really care, but it's a milestone, not only for the kid, but for the parents as well. It's a big deal. It's about, you know, making that first step of becoming an adult. You're no longer a young adult. You're an adult now. Now you're 18. You can, you know, you have responsibilities. You have all these other things going on, and it's a great thing. So kudos to Michael. Joe will be back tomorrow. We'll have some special guests on the show for Joe's birthday, which will be really cool. Coming up in just about 15 minutes or so, chief columnist in the New York Post, Michael Goodwin, will join us on the program in his weekly spot, and we will talk about a number of different things with Michael, including this series of short films called This Is New York, the films that are available on YouTube right now, and talking about how, you know, the city is recovering, and it's great, and it's this and that, and let's face it, folks, the city is not, it's recovering, but it's not exactly clean. The subways aren't, you know, really the way they should be. There's a lot of nonsense. The workers' union is saying you got to hire more workers to clean the trains. The MTA is saying, yeah, we're trying to get them, but you know what? I wonder if they really are, and that's a problem. We have the mayoral debate tonight. There are eight candidates, I think, that are going to be involved in the mayoral debate tonight. And let's face it, if you're voting for Eric Adams in the primary, maybe you want to listen to what Eric Adams had to say yesterday, where he's talking about how he wants to make New York City a sanctuary state. If that's the case, I got a problem with that. That should not happen here. And, of course, on the other side of it, it's Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo who are running for the Republican side. Curtis is far and beyond the best candidate on the Republican side. Fernando Mateo is a joke, in my opinion. He is a fraud. He's a huckster. He's just shilling, you know, for whatever it is. Now, some may say that same thing about Curtis. You know, they feel like the Guardian Angels are a joke or he's this, that, and whatever. I've worked with Curtis. I know Curtis personally. This is a guy who cares about New York City. He is willing to do what it takes to get things done. And I think if you're going to vote on the Republican side, that's the guy you should vote for. Again, that's just my opinion. On the Democratic side, there's a lot of candidates there. I think Maya Wiley is not a good candidate. The fact that she talked about defunding the police, that's a big red flag for me. I think out of the ones that are kind of, you know, two and three, four, whatever it is, Andrew Yang was gone for most of the pandemic. He was upstate. Eric Adams, while, you know, I think he's a decent borough president, I don't think he's the guy to run this city. I think Catherine Garcia is the woman who can get things done, in my opinion. I think she is a go-getter. She is not a politician. She will work for the benefit of everyone in New York. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I don't have any skin in the game because I don't live in New York. I wanted to mention two little things. One, about jobs. I mentioned this before we went to break. So Congressman Josh Gottheimer in New Jersey has a proposal for a $500 back-to-work bonus, which would use a portion of federal COVID-19 relief funds that are heading to New Jersey to incentivize unemployed residents to start a job by August 1st, and you have to maintain that job at least past September 1st, right? Now, Assemblyman Robert Arthur was on with us last hour, said, I'm not really sure if I support that. We shouldn't be giving more money to people to get them to go back to work. However, I don't think that this is a bad idea. I don't know if I would necessarily give them another $500. Maybe you get a tax break. Maybe there's some other way that you could be creative about this. But we need to get people back to work. Look, bottom line is, folks, if you're sitting at home collecting this extra unemployment payment, you're going to be paying tax on it at some point down the road. You've got to get back to work. I don't understand the mentality. I have been in the I don't know how many years that I've been working. I think I've had a job since I was, 13 years old, and I've never been without a job except for 6 weeks in 2001. I lost a job. I was waiting for another one. I took a job with a conference call company. It was a terrible job. I knew I wasn't cut out for it. And I think I knew I wasn't cut out for it when the guy said to me when he interviewed me for the job, Brian, he said, he loves customer service, this guy. He loves people and customer service. Wow. And I went, ooh, this is not the job for me. I mean, I like people, certain people, but I don't like everyone.
You can't just hang up on those people like the callers.
No, I can't.
That wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't work. So, but right before that, though, I was on unemployment, and it scared me. I had just bought a house with my wife, first house I had ever bought. I was 31. I lost my job, and now I'm having to survive on a $300 payment a week. That was back then, $300 and change, whatever it was. And it scared me. And I said, I've got to find something. So I took this conference call job, and it kind of bridged the gap for a couple of weeks until I could get another job back in the radio business. But that scared me, and that motivated me to find work. All of this extra money that these people are getting is not motivating anyone to get work. And by the way, you've been sitting home. Let's say you've been collecting unemployment since last April. Okay, so you've been collecting unemployment now for a year and almost 2 months. If you didn't like the job that you were in, that you got laid off, you've had a year and 2 months to find another job or to learn another skill, to get a different job. Okay? I'm not interested in hearing people's excuses as to why they couldn't get another job. You don't like working in the retail industry? Then you should have been looking for something else outside of the retail industry, and you could have taken education online to learn about something else. You don't like working in a restaurant or a bar? Go find another job in the field that you've chosen. Because nobody, listen, let's face it, the majority of people who are waiters and waitresses or bartenders didn't choose to be a bartender or a waiter or a waitress. They took the job because they were in school and they needed the extra money or whatever the case may be. Now, are there some career bartenders and whatever? Yes, but most of them don't choose to do that. And it is a lucrative job. I get it. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of hours. So maybe you were tired of that and you don't want to go back to that grind. You've had 14 or 15 months to find something else. I don't understand it. Now, we'll get to these two calls in a second. The other thing I want to mention about, you know, when it comes to the economy and stuff, real estate. We talked to Stephen Moore last hour, our resident economic expert here on the Joe Piscopo Show. And my name is Al Gattulo. If you're just joining us, Joe Piscopo will be back tomorrow. He's off to see his son, Michael, graduate high school today. He'll be back tomorrow for his birthday celebration. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Stephen Moore was talking about how the real estate market right now is on a boon, right? Mortgage applications are up for the first time in 4 weeks, shows the strongest gain in 2 months. Overall applications rose 4.2% last week, with refinance applications leading the way. Refis were up 5.5%. Applications for loans to buy homes rose 1.1%. The national average interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is down 4 basis points to 3.11%. That's the lowest interest rate in 5 weeks. Look, folks, people are buying houses. And, you know, Stephen brought this point up, and I hope that this isn't going to be the case. We had a housing crisis back in 2008. That was 13 years ago? I don't know. My math is terrible. 13 years ago. And I was in the middle of that. I was working for my father-in-law in his real estate business. The real estate business was going belly up. I couldn't work for my father-in-law anymore. He couldn't afford to pay me. I had to get back in the radio business. The only time I've been out of radio. And again, it was one of those moments where I panicked and it worried me. And I found the job very quickly. I had a lot of friends in the business. I was able to find something and keep things moving. But I had to sell my house. I had to sell my house because I couldn't afford it, because I had over-leveraged and mortgaged and this and that, whatever, to help my father-in-law out. I've made no secret of this. We've talked about it on the show. And I had to find a house. And I was lucky to do that without going into foreclosure. I was lucky to do it to come out of it with a down payment to buy another house. I just recently bought another house in my town and got a good deal on it and still came out of my other house with money, which was great. And my mom's condo was officially on the market, is now off the market after just 2 weeks. We have a buyer. We're working the details out, which is fantastic. I just wonder if we are going into this, you know, this recession that I hope that we don't go into, but I'm also hoping that we don't have a situation where we have another housing bubble that bursts. That would be devastating right now, you know, coming out of this pandemic. It would be awful. A friend of mine bought a house. She paid almost $25,000 over the asking price. That's where it's a problem, when you get these bidding wars for houses that aren't worth what they are, and then all of a sudden in a year or two from now, you know, you're way over whack, your mortgage is out of whack, and there's a problem. I hope we don't have that same situation. So we shall see what happens. Let me get to these calls real quick. John from Saddle River is on the phone. John, thanks for joining us on the Joe Piscopo Show.
Hey, Al. Listen, I agree with you 95% of the time. But the one thing I have a problem with is you keep saying that New Jersey with Governor McTooth here is scot-free. He did the right thing. we don't really know.
Hold on, John. Wait, hold on a second. I didn't say he's scot-free, yeah. And I didn't say he did everything right. What I'm saying is that the majority, a large portion of what he has done helped the state out. Now, some businesses and some people would disagree with that. Some people who had people in nursing homes would disagree with that. However, right now there is no evidence to the contrary that he did anything wrong. Is his numbers a little screwed up when he was giving out the daily rates and stuff? Yes. Their math was different from other people's math, and I had a problem with that. And I know Kurt Siegelin from News 12 was doing exhausting research on this and did a phenomenal job. But I'm not the biggest fan of Governor Murphy, but there are certain things that he did that I think he did well. Where I think he made a mistake was borrowing the amount of money that he borrowed and then got all this federal surplus. That money should be paid back, and it should be paid back to help benefit the pension, to help benefit paying down on debt and stuff. If he does those things, that's a good thing. If he uses it to continue to fund his progressive programs, that's where I have a problem. John, I got to let you go here because we've got one other call, and I want to get to that before we get to Michael Goodwin. Ed in Babylon. Ed, you're on the Joe Piscopo Show. Good morning. Ed, going once. Going twice. Oh, I get to Gattulo somebody. Wow. This is, you know what, Brian? This makes me very
Gattulo'd.
I love it. I love it. When you can Gattulo somebody, when Al Gattulo was hosting the program, that is a good thing. Now, coming up next, Michael Goodwin, the chief political columnist for the New York Post, is going to join us. He is going to talk about this new the series of films that are on YouTube that are called This is New York. We'll get his take on that. We'll get his take on the primary and who he thinks is going to shake out here as the primary is next Tuesday on June 22nd, but early voting is starting now. But first, it's time for the news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The answer.
66 degrees at 936. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Thoroughbred trainer Bob Baffert suing the New York Racing Association after he was banned from competition. The lawsuit argues that the New York Racing Association lacks the basis to suspend him since he's involved in an ongoing investigation. Baffert was first banned by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission after his Kentucky Derby winning horse Medina Spirit tested positive for a banned steroid. He wants access to the sample that tested positive as he argues it came from a topical ointment and not an injection. Monmouth County's Hope One mobile unit is out on the road once again. Hope One is Monmouth's effort to combat the local opioid epidemic. A sheriff's officer, recovery specialist, and a licensed clinician are on board to help residents dealing with substance abuse and their families. You can connect with immediate services, treatment facilities, and also receive naloxone training. In sports, Kevin Durant played every minute as he tallied 49 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists. The Nets beat the Bucks 114-108 in Brooklyn in Game 5. Brooklyn now leads that best-of-seven series 3-2. Lightning topped the Islanders 4-2 in Tampa in Game 2 of their semifinal series, which is now tied at a game apiece. Game 3 set for Thursday in Uniondale. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays 6-5 in Buffalo. Mets edge the Cubs 3-2 at Citi Field. Stuck in traffic? W. Duhame's got the answer.
Good morning, Al. Let's go to the Jackie Robinson heading eastbound, getting out toward Forest Park Drive. It's construction slowing everybody down. Busy on the LIE westbound through Woodhaven Boulevard and getting out toward the Queens Midtown Tunnel. Busy on the westbound belt out by Kennedy Airport with a collision. Throgs Neck Bridge, a lot of volume into Queens with ongoing road work. Southern State Parkway eastbound, getting out toward Nassau Road into Uniondale. That's a collision to watch for. Watch for construction on 80 eastbound as you get out past Exit 1. And traffic is building here at the inbound GWB of 25 minutes. Lincoln 20, Holland still waiting 30 minutes in to both approaches. And let's see what's happening on 287 North Exit 2 in Edison. It's an accident in the process of being cleared as well. Traffic slowing down on the Palisades Parkway South Exit 10 into New City. Accident in the left lane. Sunny today, high of 80. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Indeed. If you're hiring this summer, you need Indeed. With Indeed Instant Match, just post a sponsored job and you'll immediately get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo for Pat LaFreda Meat Purveyors. You know they supply many of New York and New Jersey's finest restaurants. Yes, like 1,600 of those restaurants. Now you can get the same high quality selection of meats for your most important customer, your own family. La Freda deals in only premium 100% Black Angus cattle raised and grazed in the United States. Their only focus is meat. You won't find any frozen side dishes or any gimmicks here. Offering every kind of meat in every cut, like tomahawk, bone-in ribeye, porterhouse, center-cut filet, just to name a few. Supplying only the highest quality beef, pork, lamb, veal, poultry, and America's best burger chop meat blends. Shipped overnight, cut the night you place your order, and always fresh, never frozen. Order online, please, at LaFreda.com. L-A-F-R-I-E-D-A. LaFreda.com.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
It's a day to celebrate for many Americans, but Father's Day hurts if you don't have a dad. In fact, many bad outcomes in America are driven because a father is not in the home. But there's hope. A powerful new film, The Streets Were My Father, features the journey of three inner-city Chicago men. It's a story of fatherlessness, gang life, prison life, and the power of God to change lives and transform lives. To see this important and inspirational film, go to SalemNow.com. It's a film that will move you and change lives. Go to SalemNow.com, SalemNow.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Planning for the future is important. Are you and your family protected? If you're not around to make the decisions, who will? Are your assets protected from probate and nursing home costs? The time to plan is now. Need a will, trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, living will, estate plan. The goal of Connors and Sullivan's attorneys is always the protection of your rights and interests. They've been helping people like you and me plan their estates and protect their families for 40 years. Talk with Mike Connors in a free, comprehensive telephone consultation to see how he can help you protect your family, your assets, and your legacy. Have all your questions answered from the security of your home during these difficult times. The biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all. Now is not the time to put it off. Call Connors and Sullivan today to schedule a free telephone consultation with Mike Connors himself. 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. Or visit ConnorsandSullivan.com.
The Ben Shapiro Show. Weekdays at 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. on AM 970. The Answer.
All right. I had music there, but unfortunately, it didn't fire off, so I apologize for that. Al Gattulo here on the Joe Piscopo Show. It is 9:42 in the morning. We're going to have the chief political columnist for the New York Post, Michael Goodwin, join us in just a moment. Joe is off right now. He is attending his son Michael's high school graduation. It's taking place in about 15 minutes. I know Joe was complaining about that, about the fact that the graduation was at 10 o'clock this morning. They've got a beautiful day, though, in store for a graduation. So, you know, Michael's going to join us in just a second. We're getting him on the phone. A lot to talk about with Michael this morning, and it is interesting. We have the primary tonight for the mayoral candidates, and we'll get Michael's take on that in just a moment. But Michael Goodwin is on the line. He is the chief political columnist for the New York Post. Michael, it's Al Gattulo, the news guy here. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So in this morning's post, you wrote about a series of short films called This is New York. Now, the films are available on YouTube. Can you tell us why you think voters should see these films before casting their votes over the next couple of days and next week?
Sure. Look, I think the issue is often obscured by the politics of it, by the personalities of the candidates, by the history, all of that sort of stuff, by the media even. And I think what we always have to keep in mind is the impact of policies upon ordinary people. And so this series of films sets out to tell their story of how policies affect people in neighborhoods throughout the city. And the filmmaker, Matthew Taylor, says that for him, these are the forgotten people. So he goes to Brownsville, he goes to the South Bronx, Staten Island, and talks to people about schools, about crime, about quality of life issues. And you hear in their own stories, in a very fast-paced, gritty New York style, you hear them talk about what it means for them when the school system is not trustworthy, when the local school is just terrible, and where, as one mother says, anything goes. What that does to a family, what that means to her and her children. You hear about people, restaurant owners, in terms of crime, in terms of the homeless. You hear about, again, parents talking about trying to raise their children in a city where the streets are filthy, there's gunfire, there's just this sense of mayhem and chaos around every corner. Right. So that's the story that the filmmakers are telling, and I find it captivating. I find it compelling in the way that we sometimes forget who is at the receiving end of these political decisions.
Michael, did the city pay for these films, or was this done by Matthew Taylor on his own?
It's a bit of a long story, but he was approached by a man named Larry Moan, who used to be the director of the Manhattan Institute, about doing a larger film on New York, a two-hour film about the changes in the city over years and what was going on in New York.
Right.
And they decided that that would be interesting, but probably make it more digestible and to do it in bite-sized pieces. And so some people also associated with Manhattan Institute formerly raised some money to get the project underway, to allow them to shoot lots of film throughout the city. Matthew Taylor told me that they have shot more than 78 hours already.
Oh, wow.
So you really get a gritty sense, and now they're editing and producing these things in these five-minute segments, more or less, about different topics.
And we're talking with Michael Goodwin, the chief political columnist for the New York Post. I'm Al Gattulo. Joe Piscopo is off today. He is off to, attending his son Michael's high school graduation. He'll be back tomorrow for his birthday celebration. Michael, if New Yorkers don't get this election right and we elect another de Blasio, like, or Mayor Putz, as you call him, I like to call him Mayor McClownage, but it works, whatever you want to call him. If we get another de Blasio-like candidate, and it seems like Eric Adams and Maya Wiley, Andrew Yang seem to all be heading in that direction. Are we doomed as a city?
No, I don't think so. I'm somewhat of a pessimist by nature when it comes to maybe human nature, but I do think that New York has a special resiliency about it. And while it's easy to be pessimistic these days, given what's happening, the city has self-corrected before. And I think that's important. New York, there has always been a core of people who care so much about the city. I mean, look at our great institutions, the public library. To think that that was privately funded in the beginning, right? Even the subways were privately built in the beginning. So there's always been this great core, I think, of passion and philanthropy and the sense that New York has to make it, that it's not just our five boroughs. It's the whole country looks to New York in so many ways. And so, look, I think that there are differences among the candidates. I think Eric Adams, for example, whom I've put as number one on my ballot so far, Eric Adams, I think, is committed to solving the crime and quality of life issues. I think he's also pretty good on schools in the sense that he would not try to crush the charter schools, which Bill de Blasio has done as a favor to the teachers' unions. I mean, it's interesting to me that the teachers' unions have said they would support almost any candidate except Eric Adams and Andrew Yang. Mm. Well, I think that's the reason to make Adams and Yang one and two on real people's ballots, because the teachers union only represents the union. It does not give a fig's leaf about the children of this city. They have proven it time and time again, most recently by keeping the schools closed.
Right.
So I think vote against the teachers unions, because it's not about the teachers. It's about the union. A lot of great teachers care about the kids, but the union only cares about the union.
And speaking of which, with the voting, what impact do you think ranked choice voting is going to have on the primary?
That's really one of the great unknowns. You can list five candidates in order, and when they start to count the votes, so if the person who has the lowest number one votes is eliminated, and all of that, all the supporters, their ballots are then distributed, so they will go to the number two person on that supporter's ballot. So That's how you eliminate each candidate from the bottom up, and you're left then with two, and the one with the most number ones by the end of all that is the winner. And it's interesting. I didn't like it at first. I've come to see some advantages in it. One being that, when nobody in New York City, when there's a citywide primary and nobody gets more than 40%, there's a runoff between the top two. Well, historically, the turnout has cratered for that runoff, oddly. And so I think what this does is eliminates that runoff, and all of the ballots are in play until the final winner of the primary.
Michael, and we're talking with Michael Goodwin, the chief political columnist for the New York Post, here on the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer. I got about 30 seconds. The final primary is tonight with the eight candidates that'll be on stage. What are you looking for this final push? Let's say the top two candidates. We've heard Catherine Garcia has surged in the polls here in recent days. What are you looking for tonight from her and maybe from Eric Adams tonight?
Well, look, the debates are both an opportunity and a risk. And I think that when you see people who are such as Adams and Garcia, as you mentioned, sort of 1-2,
right.
And the polls are all different, but it's a pretty consistent finding that way. And Yang up there also.
Mm-hmm.
I think those people have a lot to lose. And so it's probably not possible to throw a Hail Mary pass and hope for it to work. I think what you will find also, because of the ranked choice, you don't want to anger the supporters of one of your rivals. You want to seek, if you want to be second on their ballot.
Right.
So I think that has cut down on the acrimony, and I think you will not see a lot of acrimony tonight. Maybe Andrew Yang and Eric Adams, they've been going at each other a lot. I think you'll see them go at each other because they seem to be having very different bases by and large. But I think Garcia will not take any risk. And I think some of the others, some of the also-rans will take big risks because they have nothing to lose. So I think each candidate will make a calculation about how much risk they can really safely take.
Sounds good. We'll be watching. Michael Goodwin, the chief political columnist for the New York Post, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. Of course, we'll talk to you next Wednesday with Joe Piscopo. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you. Got it.
Michael Goodwin, the chief political columnist for the New York Post on the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer. Let's jump right to traffic with Debbie Duham, and then we'll wrap things up for a Wednesday morning. Debbie?
Thank you so much, Al. Let's see what's happening. It's really busy on the Cross Bronx West getting into the GWB outbound upper. It's ongoing construction. The Belt westbound by Kennedy Airport, it's an accident over there. Jackie Robinson eastbound at Forest Park Drive. Construction, that's slowing you down as well. Watch for some stop-and-go traffic as you head to Middle Neck Road, getting up toward the area of Hicks Lane. It looks like an accident being cleared over in Nassau County. Inbound George 10, Lincoln 5, Holland about 20 minutes in. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duham with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Joe on the radio telling you about Relief Factor because I want you out of pain. You know, the little things. When I talk about taking the garbage out, when I talk about, yes, reaching into my washing machine and putting the clothes into the dryer, something as simple as that. There's little stuff that just the nicks from working out, from getting older, whatever it is, you could live your life pain-free if you try Relief Factor. Try it. That's what the three-week quick start is all about. 800-500-8384. Just call, please. 800-500-8384. You go to ReliefFactor.com, and it's not going to cost you less than a cup of coffee a day. It's a like $19.95 for the 3-week quick start. You'll get it, be at your house in a couple of days. You take the relief factor. You see how fast it works for you. For me, it was 5 days. Give yourself 3 weeks. For me, 5 days, and I'm still out of pain because I still take Relief Factor. I want you out of pain because I love you, and I think I can get you out of pain. Let's see if we can with that 3-week quick start. ReliefFactor.com, please. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-583-84.
Sadly, in 2020, 24 children died of pediatric vehicular heat stroke, and many of these incidents occurred when parents or caregivers simply forgot the child was in the car. A child's body temperature rises 3 to 5 times faster than an adult's, and leaving a child in a hot vehicle can lead to their death very quickly. If you see a child left unattended and can't locate their parents, call 911. If the child looks unresponsive, do whatever it takes to get him or her out safely, including breaking the window. Your actions may save the life of a child.
Brought to you by NHTSA.
The following is a paid political announcement paid for by Curtis Sliwa for mayor.
Hey, you know me. I'm Curtis Sliwa, and I'm running for mayor of New York City on the Republican line to save our city. But in order to do that, I need your vote in the Republican primary June 22nd. Remember, early voting starts at your local polls in the 5 boroughs on June 12th to June 20th. I've never asked you for a favor, but now I am. I need your vote. Go to Curtis Sliwa for mayor.com. That's Curtis Sliwa for mayor.com.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michaels of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michaels of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michaels of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michaels of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michaels of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
Bright sunshine today with a refreshing breeze and low humidity, high 79. Then tonight will be clear and cool with a low of 58 in Midtown, but 44 to 49 in some of the cooler areas of the Hudson Valley and northwest New Jersey. Plenty of sunshine and pleasant tomorrow, high again 79. Friday's sunshine mixing with some clouds and warm, high 83. AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970. The Answer.
Now, this is my kind of music. It's not Joe Piscopo music, but Judas Priest is my kind of music, and I couldn't be more excited that the boys from Birmingham are coming back this October. They will be at the Prudential Center, and I will be there. I'm Al Gattullo, the news guy, sitting in for Joe Piscopo, who is off to see his son, Michael, graduate high school. That is pretty awesome. Joe will be back tomorrow for his birthday celebration. Can't wait for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of special guests on the program. We got Ed in Babylon is back. Ed, I got about 30 seconds. How are you?
Oh, Al, still there. Hey, Al. Sorry, I had it on mute before. Never get off your soapbox, Al. You're so right. And on your craft beer show, why don't you do a Robert Goulet song every night?
because I don't have time, and it's only 4 segments, so that's why I don't do that, Ed. But I appreciate it.
Oh, geez. Okay. I had more to say about Andrew Cuomo. I was someone that works with him, worked with him in the MTA. He was an ego guy, a bum, came in cursing. Not a good person. Not a good person. Al.
No, he is not. Ed, thanks for the call. We very much appreciate it. Have a great day. We are wrapping up the Joe Piscopo show here on AM 970 and The Answer. My thanks to Brian Zagin for producing all 4 hours of the program. Brian will be back tomorrow. Brian, thank you.
Thank you.
Kara Fusaro came in. She's doing our social media. She's also answering the phones. We had some phone problems today, so apologize for that. Thank you, Kara, for coming in. Again, Joe will be back tomorrow. We will be celebrating his birthday. I know we have Carol Alt is calling in. We have Chaz Palminteri. We have a number of other people, some special guests, so you definitely want to tune in for that. The Joe Piscopo birthday celebration. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have fun. Maybe a cake, maybe some candles, but we won't light them because we're in the studio and we don't want to have a fire. We will see you tomorrow, but first up, I've got the news coming up in just seconds. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.